Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Joag Fan Cave. It's me, Kristen, here with Corgan and our very special celebrity guest, who you may recognize, Mr. Mark Lewis.
Can I just say, this is fucking adorable. This is adorable as fuck. Because I was ready to kind of dive in then, but I shouldn't be diving in, should I? Because it's not my podcast.
No, so I have a whole intro that I've written, Mark.
Shut the fuck up. Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay. We're here, I don't know if you know this, to discuss the 2012 film, The Cabin in the Woods. Now, according to Corrigan, going to a cabin in the woods is like a big summer activity that people do. But I have to say, after watching this film, I wouldn't recommend it. All right. This movie follows five college friends who head to the woods for fun, I guess. Unfortunately, they obviously end up having the exact opposite, right? That's what they find there. Because if the creepy gas station attendant like wasn't enough, there is then a basement full of horrors in which the kids unwittingly choose their fate by releasing a killer zombie family, upon themselves. And I should probably mention, this whole thing is being orchestrated by some shadow agency of some kind, like attempting to save the world through human sacrifice. But honestly, it's the cabin and the woods. Like, that's the weirdest part. Like, just go to the beach, like normal people, right? Like, what are you doing?
Listen, Kristen, we don't all have beaches. Not everyone is from the beach. Some of us are from the woods.
Sure. But still.
You watch Maine Cabin Masters. You know, not all of us are from the beach.
I know. I'm simply saying that I feel like I was right last week when I said you should go to the beach. They should have just gone to the beach.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Anyway, whatever.
Mark, Bizarre. Welcome.
Thank you. What does occur to me, and I've got to get this out of the way, right, and I apologize, but I have to say this. Mm. It is an absolute delight to be on Fan Cave. 7 years or so after I first fucking asked if you would invite me on.
I feel that this is apocryphal. I do not remember this happening.
Had I not deleted all of my tweets, I would find this exact tweet, right? Before Joag, before any of it, before we met, I was following Corrigan on Twitter. And, you know, she'd been tweeting about a podcast. And I was like, ooh, that seems like something fun that I might enjoy. So I thought, oh, maybe she'll think I'm a dick. Oh, shall I? So I messaged her. Hi, your podcast looks really cool. You talk about the kinds of things I like. I quite like to be on. Yeah. She didn't even fucking reply. Didn't even fucking reply to me.
I mean, to be fair, she doesn't reply to DMs. So
that's a very good point.
That is an excellent point. So yes, it is a treat, a delight, and an honor and a privilege to be on. Oh, after all, you know, almost a decade waiting.
Probably more than a decade at this point. Like, didn't we stop doing Fan Cave? Well, maybe we stopped in 2016 or somewhere in that vicinity.
Something like that, I think, probably.
We're getting in that vicinity.
But yes, listen, thank you.
Yeah, glad to have
you. I'm honored. Mark's going to join us. I was like, oh my God, I got so nervous.
Honor,
I've been practicing that intro for an hour. I've been so nervous about it.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I don't know if you know this, but when we have guests on, if you remember this from the Fan Cave, I always say the worst thing. Like, that's when I do my most embarrassing.
True.
Yes. When the spotlight is on.
Yeah. Like, when there's someone else there to witness, even though I know people like watch this, so I know it's not like just us shooting the shit, but it feels like it. And so I don't think too much about it. But when there's someone else in the room and all of a sudden I just like word vomit.
Is it like when you try to type on your screen sharing and all of a sudden
and everyone's like, and I'm like,
bah.
Yes. Yeah. Kristen does have a habit of saying things she does not mean to say in mixed companies. So we'll see how this goes.
So far, so good.
We're doing great. Listen, this month we have Mark here, who is obviously horror expert and who is a cabin in the woods expert at this point.
Right. Just to stop you there, I heartily object to the term expert. I ain't an expert in shit, right? I'm an amateur, hobbyist, enthusiast at best, right?
Mm. What's the line? Where does it?
Yeah.
How do you become an expert?
I just spitballing here. I think an expert is when you've got a qualification in it, or you've studied it, or you know you've appeared on a panel about it. No,
you have a podcast about it.
Oh, yeah, I do. Fuck, I do. All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go ahead and say expert. We don't adhere to arbitrary certifications and whatnot.
No.
Layman
Fine.
Expert.
I'll take it.
Mark Lewis
yeah.
here.
You have an honorary doctorate in the Cabin in the Woods bestowed to you from me.
And letterboxed.
I am yeah, a nice. Ordained minister at the Church of the Internet, so I have the ability, cool. I think, to hand out all sorts of things.
I think that's cool. true.
Pretty
I
sure
think you could also drive a boat.
When it comes to Cabin in the Woods, yeah. I think I picked up the honorary expert title after maybe like the sixth time.
Right.
After watching it again this morning, Letterboxd tells me I've watched it eight fucking times. Eight
yeah,
times
a lot
I've been
of times.
To that goddamn cabin. So
honestly, that's more than those people. So
yeah, yeah,
that's
it is.
A really
it is.
Good point. Yeah.
But
most people only go once.
I'm here more to kind of just enjoy conversation about the movie because I you know, I don't want to railroad anything. I know the journey that you're on, Kristen. And I am very, very keen to just hear how it lands with somebody in the kind of the first semester of horror, as it were.
Oh my gosh. Yes, first semester, first quarter, really.
Indeed. Listen, I was, you know, building up my list. Obviously, I have to pick for next month what the movie's going to be. And I ended up looking through like what I think probably is going to be the rest of the year in these. And it's, I get so eager to introduce Kristen to all of these different films, you know? It's like every time I choose one, I feel like I'm not choosing something else and it like gives me hives. I'm like, oh, so many things.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So
yeah. I mean,
we'll get there.
I'm enjoying this journey, oddly enough. I didn't think I would. I
yeah,
thought I was
no.
doing it more just to be a good friend.
Yeah.
Really?
This was very much a favor.
It felt like that at the start. It certainly felt like that at the beginning, but you know, you're
welcome.
Along voluntarily, aren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, honestly, I'm having a great time.
It's beautiful. Which Mark is sometimes you think is maybe I'm not going hard enough if she's having so good a time.
No, I mean, I think after this, I think we can certainly turn up the heat a little.
Oh.
I thought this was kind of the dial up a little bit, but
well,
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
But we are going to lean into your expertise a little bit, Mark.
Sure, of course.
Especially because one of the things about this movie, obviously, Kristen has been at trope school for the past several months. You know, we started talking about the tropes that you see come up in films and things like that. And we picked this one, or I picked this one specifically, because this is Trope University. This is the grad course right here. This is where you get to see it all sort of laid out for you. The tropes of the slasher, especially, but with all kinds of other subgenres melded in here as well. And of course, you know, one of the big things is this movie largely sort of modeled the cabin itself and things like that after one of your favorites, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, when you say The Cabin in the Woods, there's only one movie series that comes to mind, isn't it? It's quintessential Evil Dead, and
yes, naturally
putting that setting and that cabin in the title on the poster is a deliberate, very deliberate attempt. You know, it's the film immediately wrong-footing you. It's tempting you in with one movie and then giving you something entirely better. Better. I'm saying this is a movie.
Yeah,
that's
wow,
better,
that is.
You know,
that's huge. Mm-hmm.
It serves you what you think you know. And then fucking yanks it away and gives you so much more. God, I fucking love this film. It is so, so, so rich.
So why don't you, because I do think this is something that's worth knowing about to really fully appreciate this movie, why don't you talk a little bit about Evil Dead and the lineage of where this comes from? Just to give Kristen an idea of like what...
Is that the other cabin movie we're talking about? I'm so
yes.
sorry.
Yes,
yes,
that's
right.
The series that
it
he
is
referring to. Yes.
I knew that took place in a cabin.
most of Evil Dead does. When you think of Evil Dead, you think of a cabin in the woods. I mean, there are plenty of horror movies with a woodland setting, with a you know, with a rural kind of ramshackle log cabin setting. But when you think cabin in the woods horror movie, you think Evil Dead, a series which born in the late 70s, a series with you know, as many flavors as it has sequels. Let me think. Evil Dead, Evil Dead, Army Darkness, Ashes, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2013, Evil Dead. There's six with a seventh on the way and a TV series, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it five with another on the way and a TV series? And
yeah,
every single
you,
one...
You counted the series in there.
I did. Every single chapter of Evil Dead almost has its own flavor, has its own kind of personality. It goes from low budget, kind of grimy, almost art house kind of horror, micro budget, to physical kind of slapstick horror comedy, but with a serious amount of horror within the comedy. Then the balance shifts more in the horror kind, in the comedy direction. And then it came back in 2013 with a remake timeline, which is just absolute balls out, pardon my expression, just auteur fucking absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Artisan horror, just fucking handmade, beautiful, gritty. The Evil Dead 2013 is the most hard-edged, pitiless, just cruel fucking horror movie around. Every single one of Evil Dead, like I said, has its own little flavor, its own essence that makes it makes it so beautiful. But it has things that you would expect. Every time you go to an Evil Dead film, you know you're going to get dismemberment, you're going to get a chainsaw, you're going to get friends dying horribly one by one, you're going to get a book with a nasty demon attached to it, you're going to get possessions, and you're going to get a cabin in the woods.
Sure.
So putting that on the fucking poster, putting that in the title, this film wants you to come to it thinking you're going to get, all right, something linear, something effective, something which will jump and make you scared, and there'll be all of those things that you're expecting. And then it just, like I said, it opens up another fucking door that has an entirely different buffet of treats inside. And Cabin in the Woods does about a million different things in 90 minutes, and it does them all brilliantly. You'll know how Corey and I are big fans of movies that, what's the phrase? Brief, brilliant, and gone. Just be fucking amazing in a short space of time and then fuck off out of there. That's what Cabin in the Woods does. It just goes bang, 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 idea, 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 reveal, reveal, reveal. And then it just...
Please. Well, there is even a part where I was thinking to myself, like, God, people are dying, like, really fast. Like, this feels like it's
happens real early.
At a clip that I was unprepared for, you know? It was like, so I can see how that is true. Because I was like, oh,
Yeah. Some of my favorite bits of fiction, a characteristic about a work that I adore is a movie that, or a TV show or a book or anything that just introduces and then just throws away and moves on ideas. Just, there's another idea, it's fantastic, chuck it away. There's another one, chuck it away. And this is a movie like that. There are so many ideas in this film that other movies would build an entire 2 hours off or an entire season of a TV show, whereas this movie just goes, bop, 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 idea, idea, idea. We're all having a great time. We don't know what the fuck is going on. Let's get out of here. Whoa. And it's something completely unique. I can't think of another film like it.
Yeah, I would watch that TV show, to be clear, but you're right. It does work in this sort of, very small movie with a lot happening. A huge movie inside a very small movie.
There is one. I saw this on Amazon. There's a fucking Cabin in the Woods TV show.
There is?
Yes, in the
and
same
And it's connected.
Apparently. I don't know if it's in the same universe or if it's like the Scream show or what.
When
or
is
if it's
it
like
from?
An anthology show. Do bear with. Do
Like, how did we miss this? I don't understand.
I had no clue. Cabin in the Woods TV show. Here we go. From 2024?
Last year?
It would seem so. This season on Cabin in the Woods. Explores crimes. Oh, okay. It's got fuck all to do with the film. It's a movie. It's a TV show that explores crimes that take place
in
remote
cabins
around the country.
Gotcha. It's probably on like Hulu or Investigation Discovery or something that.
Definitely. That's definitely an ID show.
That's definitely an ID show right there. Okay, fair enough. I was like, how? They do that all the time with ID shows that like you think that like it has the title of something else.
Well, yeah, that's on purpose, right? It has to
be. Right, yeah. So when you talk into your little Roku or whatever and have it come up, you end up just accidentally watching it and staying.
That's exactly what happened with Amazon Prime today. I searched Cabin in the Woods and it was there right next to
right
what
away.
I actually wanted to watch. Yeah.
Right. They just hope that once it starts, you can be like, I guess.
Yeah.
Why not? Along these lines, obviously, so you've got like that Evil Dead grounding here. And I love what you said about the fact that like that is how it tricks you. And I honestly kind of wish I'd rewatched the trailer because I don't remember how it was presented, but I'm sure it had nothing of like the office scenario thing going on here in the shadowy organization. And I'm sure it just emphasized the cabin in the woods, Evil Dead Z part of
I
it.
think the poster says you think you know the story or something like that.
Yeah, it is something
Nice and
like that.
vague, yeah.
I did notice that on the Letterboxd. But so it's playing off of kind of what you already expect from horror movies. But of course, one of the big things about this is that it is also chock full of references to other
Yes.
horror movies. And Mark, you actually came prepared with a little, like,
I did.
guide to that.
Before I'd quite like to hear from Kristen at this point. I'd quite like to just explore a little bit about how it landed.
Okay, so you want to do that section, then come back to
Please.
this. Okay.
Let's
We can
and we'll kind
absolutely
of
do
talk
that.
about the beats of the movie, what you know, how it kind of unfolds. But this is all about your journey, Kristen Luttrell. So I would love to know how this particular step treated ye.
Sure.
Yeah, let's
So
do it.
how the
Let's get
movie
into
landed in general, is that what you're saying?
Let's get into
So,
the your experience part then, Kristen.
okay. So obviously I don't know any of these things you're talking about, right? Never, I don't really know what
Yes.
Evil Dead is. I'm assuming it must be some sort of zombie film, maybe. I don't know.
Kind of.
But it takes
More
place in the woods.
demons, but
Demons of some sort, right?
possessions.
Something being like summoned from some the ether.
It's all there. It's evil and dead.
Yeah, evil and dead. Great. Perfect. That makes sense. So I like obviously come into all these films. I don't look anything about them. I don't look up anything. I purely go off of what I know. I didn't know anything about this one,
Amazing.
which is hilarious even more so because when I went to it was it's like on Prime streaming, right? I didn't even have to pay for it, the dream.
Love it.
I go to start it, but I didn't want to start it yet. I was like getting food, so I was like getting ready. So I didn't want it to like autoplay, so I went down to the like more other movies you might like to like keep it away from my like prying eyes. And so then I started, so then I immediately got my food. So I just like clicked start, whatever, was like getting situated. And then movie starts and I'm like, oh, I think maybe I must have started one of those
Oh, you
other
must have accidentally.
movies because this isn't, what is happening? Why is it, what's Jenkins, what's his face, and Bradley Whitford in an office with Amy Acker? And I was like, the fuck? And it reminded me when I watched Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar and it had that same vibe where I was like, this is for these like quirky
This
ladies
is
on
definitely the
vacation.
first time someone has compared Cabin in the Woods to Barb and
Yeah,
Star
yeah.
Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yeah.
I
I don't want to brag.
guarantee it.
I go to lengths to do things that other people don't do, Corey. And so that was the vibe though, where I thought I started the wrong film because I was like, this isn't okay, but I guess I'll just hold on, right? Because also like the beginning had all these like sacrifices. I was like, I thought this was about a cabin in the woods. Like, what is happening? And so I continued to be very confused for most of the film, right? Until finally you like really like it's because then
You
I'm like,
get the
then
title sequence over
yeah,
the
so
two
then I
guys
thought,
talking about like, are you even listening to me
yes.
in the golf cart? And you're like, okay, it
Yes.
is the right movie.
And then I was like, then I was confused because it felt like they were fake, kind of like fake haunt them. Like this was an experiment, right? We're watching to see what they do in the basement. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. They're like punking these kids. But then like when people rose from the ground, I was like, oh, that doesn't feel pretty real though. So maybe not, you know? And then it's like at every moment I was like, right when I was like, all right, I get it. I see what's happening here. They were like, just kidding. You have no idea what's going on. It's like, you're correct. I still am a little bit unclear as to what is actually happening. And so I was like, who is this government? Is it the government? Like, why is like, then there was like Battle Royale was happening in Japan, which was confusing. I don't know if that was supposed to make that connection, but I was like, what?
I
Why?
enjoy that
Did
you
you? Because I was
immediately went
like,
to Battle Royale.
very nice. I mean, they were wearing the same outfits. I
Well,
mean,
that
it
is
was like
how
school
Japanese school
kids.
kids
Right. Well,
dress,
that's what
but
I'm saying. So it's
yes.
like, it was like they were at school being
But
tortured. So
listen, a couple
obviously.
months ago you would not have caught
So
that.
true. That is so true.
So
Chris, oh
I
my
think
gosh.
it's Korea.
Oregon.
I think the kids are in Korea, not
No,
Japan.
it's Japan.
No, it's
Is it
Japan.
1,000% Japan.
Fair
My apologies.
enough.
Look, I know you're an expert, but I very
Nope,
closely remember
I
that.
defer. I defer very well.
Because they talk about Japan 80 times. Japan, they can't even kill 9-year-olds. And I'm like, all right, well, let's cool
So
it
good.
a little bit. So anyway, at every step of the way, I did not understand what's going on. Like right when I thought I did, confused again, like surprised. Surprise after surprise, right? Could not have been more surprised every time. And then, yeah, just continued to be. But I also like didn't understand what some of the I didn't know if like the some of the demons they were trying to get, if I like should know who they are, sort of thing, right? Like some of the things that were in boxes. I was like, oh, I wonder if these are real things from other movies.
We'll get there. That'll be for
after. We will get there.
But I did, because it felt like the Saw guy felt like he got a lot of screen time for someone who A, never spoke.
Yeah,
and
they're
B,
definitely pointing out who he is, or Kirkland brand.
Kirkland brand of him.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I had a great time because I kept being like, oh, right. And then, like I said, people kept dying really fast. So then I was like, what's happening? Like, what's the point of this movie? Keep killing everybody. Like, Chris Hemsworth died so early, I felt like. Like, what is it? And then, like, Fran. I love him so much.
Why did he not go on to be huge? Why did he not go on to have, like, a massive career?
He's a perfect human man.
Everything he's in, aces. Absolutely.
He's great
no
in this film.
Yeah.
He's great in everything.
I was watching the other day on CNN, they broadcast the final Broadway performance of Good Night and Good Luck with George Clooney, and it opens up and Fran Kranz is in it, and I was like,
what does he play?
Oh, can't remember at this point. There's all these like old white newsmen. I don't remember. He's not Morrow.
Well, yeah, because that's Clooney.
Is that
isn't
a musical?
Clooney?
Yeah, that's Clooney.
Okay.
No, it's just a Broadway play.
It's a play. It was a movie. David Strathairn 20 years ago.
The George Clooney movie 20 years ago. But now he's old enough to play those.
He's old enough to be the guy. Yeah. And yeah, it's about a famous newsman here in America who challenged the guy who was responsible for like the Red Scare and everybody, you know, being prosecuted for being
I see.
A communist here. But anyway, Fran Kranz
in
it, and I was like, seriously, like, why him and Enver should be in everything, and I don't understand what happened, why they didn't both just blow up.
It
doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I should have definitely, because I thought he was dead, and I was so happy when he wasn't, you guys. I've never been more happy in my life. I literally screamed. I was like, when they were like, all came in, and I was like, oh no, like, okay, right, they were like really upset about the bridge. Well, we didn't get the call. I was like, they're like really harping on not getting the call. Like, we get it, guys. You didn't do your job well. It's fine. Like, you don't have to pass the buck. And then the red phone rings and you're like, oh my God, is it the president?
Uh-oh.
Is he in charge? I thought he was going to show up. He didn't. Unless the president was Sigourney Weaver, which I'm not quite sure where she came from, by the way. She just sort of like arrived from somewhere. I'm like, that looks like a bottomless pit that you just like walked out of. Whatever.
There's a
I'm
prequel there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
But at the same time,
anyway.
I'm glad they didn't. I'm so glad that this is like its own unique and little and special perfect thing that they've never tried to milk.
To like,
you know,
well, you don't need to do anything else with it, right? Because it was so odd that what's her fate Dana was going to die off screen. Like they were all partying. I was like, so we're just looking at like,
she's just gonna, fine.
Like that seemed like a weird vibe. And so then when they were like, oh my God, we have to stop this, right? Because the virgin, can't die first. But when he showed up, you guys, I was so happy. Oh. I knew it. I mean, I didn't know it. But he also had, I thought, an off-screen death, which I thought was rude. Like,
I love that, like, you always notice these things, but, like, you don't, like, trust your instinct with them.
Well,
like, why
really
are they harping on this, like, this not getting the call?
Again,
why
I'm
did
like,
he die off-screen? Like,
because I'm never thinking that hard about the things that I'm watching.
Right. You're noticing it, but
like,
you're not.
I'm clocking it.
The tropes
later.
Are going in. That's what it is. The neural pathways are forming.
Yeah, they're in there somewhere. And I think I said it last time when we were talking about the last movie last month when I was like, oh, I noticed this. And I was like so proud of myself because normally I'm just like, oh, that was weird, right? And you're like, no, Kristen, that's like the main crux of the film. I'm like, yes, of course. I also knew this.
Yes, yes, yes. Definitely on purpose. Did you notice, I mean, one of the things I was thinking about when watching this is just one of those things. Obviously, you noticed it. It's not subtle, but... So in the beginning, when they're driving to the cabin, you see the like falcon or eagle or whatever the hell it is go and like smash into the
into
side
the
of the
field.
Dome thing. Yeah, the force field. Did you remember that when Chris Hemsworth went to
Corrigan? I'm actually embarrassed that I didn't remember it until he was in the air about to hit the force. Like I didn't even get.
Uh-oh, losing internet. She always has the best freezes.
What's gonna happen?
Oh, here we go. Here she is. Okay, sorry, we lost you. You froze.
Oh,
so you were at like as he was going towards the force.
Yeah,
field.
It was like I didn't think because I kept thinking like, what are you gonna do? Like this seems like a stupid idea, right? Not remembering the force field until he was literally in the air, about like seconds away from hitting it. When I thought, oh, the force, and then it was like donezo.
I think the force field is the one bit of the film that I still scratch my head over a little bit. So are the guys underground Do they put a force field over every kind of location around the globe where they're enacting the scenarios?
I mean,
So the
they
girls with the
must
frog,
because,
do they have a force field around their school?
because it's clearly they try to keep everything in a
Contain.
very contained
Sure, sure,
location.
sure,
So
sure,
that's
sure,
why
sure,
they
sure.
wanted the collapse on the front of the tunnel and things like that. Like they
Yeah,
can,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not everywhere. It's not the whole world. They
You
have.
can't let those fucking griblies out into the real world, so you've got to put a
Right.
force field around the impact zone. Yeah, okay, fine, 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 fine.
Yeah. Yes. So
Yeah.
yes, I remembered it, but not
Not
enough to
until
not
that.
be surprised, kind of.
I know that when I saw it the first time, I did not remember that at
Yeah.
all. So when he hit it, I was like, ah! Which I think is just like so effective in this of like even when you're watching for the tropes and the things you're looking out for and all that, it's there's so much going on
Yeah.
that like you don't retain everything, you know? And then
Well,
something happens
I
and you're like,
know.
they
That's
warned me.
true.
They
But
told
I
me
was
this
kind
was
of
going to
embarrassed because
happen.
I feel like they'd warned you there, but then they warned you again because Fran is standing outside high as a.
Oh, there she goes again.
Oh,
There
back.
we are.
Sorry, you
Okay.
guys. This is like so embarrassing. I feel like I'm really having performance
It's I
issues.
think it's okay. I think it's
I know. I'm
okay.
like getting really sweaty. So he's standing outside. So he's standing outside and he's looking up. He goes, "Oh, I thought there'd be more stars." And I think to myself, "Dude, no stars in the arena, my guy. Like, of course not. You're in the Hunger Games now. Like, this is
Very
what
nice.
happens."
That
And
is
so I
really
did.
good.
You
Very
would have thought
nice.
that I clocked that. Once again, clocked it, forgot about it.
That's good. See,
I'm
I
just, like I
didn't.
said, I'm like a child when I watch these films. I'm just like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And everyone's like, oh, Kristen, they've literally foretold what's going to happen. They've told you so many times. Why are you so
Well,
surprised?
we've talked a bit about this too, in that like Mark tends to be more like that too, of not necessarily trying like the whole time to connect the
Yeah.
dots or whatever, where I tend to like be like, oh, that happened.
Oh,
This
you'll
means
have
this
the
is going to
ending
happen.
guessed within the first 5 minutes because you're a super
Right.
recognizer, aren't you? Yeah.
Super
Yeah.
recognizer. I'm usually like immediately clock whatever the pattern is or whatever and like see where this is going. This movie is clearly not the case. There's no way you could know where this is going beforehand. But I think Mark, you usually are more along for the ride like that, where like you're
Yeah,
not
and
necessarily,
given the choice between being, Carl or Lenny, should we say, I like to be surprised. What can I tell you? I like to
Sure.
go along for the ride.
Yeah. What a way to put it. But so what else? Tell us more about, what stood out to you, Kristen, favorite parts, anything that remained confusing, anything that
Yeah.
you were like, is this a reference to something? What else did what stood out to you in Cabin in the
Yeah,
Woods?
I eventually got the like jock kind of like slut. It was interesting because it took me a second to realize how their personalities had changed because they didn't spend a ton of time as those people in the beginning, right? Because it was all so quick that I didn't clock it at first. And so that took me a second to realize like, why? Because it's like, he's like, we should all stick together. And then they hit him with the gas. I'm like, you know what? They are really like personality switching these people, which I thought was interesting. And so that took me a while to get. Well, probably not until like the end when I was like, oh yeah, when they're really coordinating a lot of stuff.
I like that there's like a degree to which like that covers a multitude of horror sins too. Like, okay, if we are under the impression that every time in a horror movie you have a group of friends go somewhere, this is part of some master plan, and there's someone controlling it, then when all the like super sexist things happen and whatnot, like,
See?
the blonde is a bimbo because they put
The
something in her
fucking the
hair,
guys
the hair
underneath the ground.
dye.
It's much like,
And
right, I believe the Cabin in the Woods should be revered as much, if not more so, than Scream, because it's not only a movie about movies, it's a movie that will change the way you watch other movies. I headcanon all the time when I'm watching a fucking new horror film that the guys underground are going, right, turn on the gas and bring in the gribbly. Yep, got him. Okay, next one. Okay, we're good. Phew. You can imagine that force field around every single horror movie from now on with somebody underneath pulling the strings. It's fucking great.
Yeah, well, it's like the girl takes her clothes off, but Kurt doesn't, right? And I was like, I even said, I think, I was like, what? How come she's the one that's naked? Like, she's the only one that's naked. They're like doing it in the woods, and he literally has all his clothes on. I was like, what's happening? Right? Like, that was wild. And of course, then she gets killed first, which I was like, felt very much like, and to quote your other one, in Nightmare on Elm Street, girl is like just very much murdered so horribly, deeply, terribly on the ceiling. You're like, and she
Oof,
once
yeah.
again was the one that had sex most recently. And you're
Yep.
like, okay,
Yep,
there it
yep,
is.
yep.
happened, I was like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing. I mean, I didn't,
You're
obviously.
like,
I never saw what was happening.
but they are
It
telling
was,
you, like, you know,
they are telling you.
she
Yeah.
needs to show her boobs. And it's so funny how it's
She
like you
needs
get that
to,
whole
yeah.
thing where like all the guys are standing there, like, you know, watching, and they, you know, and then he's like, your basic human needs disgust me, everybody out, you know. And
Yeah.
then they're sitting there just like really like impassively watching from that
Because they've
point. Like
seen it
they're not turned
now.
on by it or anything like that. They're like, please get the titties
Yeah,
out so
move
that the
on. Yeah, so
monsters
we
will come.
can get
Like
you. Yeah.
he is one of the ways in which Cabin really, really, really excels for me, because you can decide which level represents us as the fucking viewer, right? It
Right,
isn't
yeah.
just a movie about horror movies, it's a movie about people who watch horror movies. Cause we've seen gore and nudity and horrible murders and monsters so much in fucking in horror movies. We passively watch while, you know, we're watching depictions of teenagers and young girls dying horribly. Are we the jaded fucking guys in the office going, right, let's just get this over the way, over, come on, get it done? Are we the people partying while it happens? Yes. We are also depicted in that film. We are one of those levels of character. Fucking great stuff.
I mean, I'm
I
obviously
was.
Truman because I'm like, don't really know what's going on and continually surprised by everything that happens, you know? So it's
True, yeah.
even the newbie is included in those people who are watching, right? Because he
Yeah,
was like,
completely.
aren't you guys like just, you know, when he's like asking all those questions, I'm like, yeah, that same question,
Completely.
you know what I mean? Like,
And it's even as overt as calling Sigourney Weaver the director. You know what I mean? Oh, the gods don't really care what the director does as long as the kids behave themselves. So it's talking about the fucking studio system as well. It's talking about us as viewers. It's talking about the system that creates horror films. Yeah, the director says we better hurry up. You know what I mean? To move the story along. Meta stuff, which I don't So many
normally have much of
levels.
a tolerance for, but this just chucks it in, fuck it.
It's so funny too that you mentioned that because it causes you to think about your sort of subjectivity and things like that
Yes, it
when
does.
you're watching it. And at one point, I thought, right now I'm home alone, well, with Walter, obviously. And I, you know, was sitting in the dark watching this or whatever. And then afterwards, I was like, maybe I'll watch an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then I was like, no, if I watch Are You Afraid of the Dark, I'm going to be too scared when I go to bed. As I'm sitting here watching this like slasher flick where all these people are being murdered by monsters, that like, I'm like, I can go to bed now and I'll be fine. But if I put on this episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. And I probably wouldn't have thought much about it. But because I was watching this movie that invites you to think about your experience of watching horror movies. I was like, what a weird thought I just had, right? Like, I'm just sitting here totally fine with everything happening in here. If I went to bed right now, I would not have a nightmare or anything like that. It's just, you know, that's just what I do. It's so interesting the way it points that stuff out about you, makes you think about it.
And you know, and it doesn't, I guess it doesn't even matter if you engage with it on that level or not, because the artifice itself, the movie itself, is fun enough for you to not need really to look for that kind of stuff. But if you just pay a little bit more attention, it's talking about you, it's talking about people behind the camera, it's talking about people in the office, it's talking about the actors, it's talking about the fucking monsters. It's a real 360 piece. It's brilliant.
And that's a sign of a well-done movie when, you
Oh
know,
yeah.
there's layers and layers of it. But if you're stupid, you could watch it and have no
Oh, it's
thoughts
casual. Let's say
either.
casual.
Yeah,
For
let's say
casual.
casual Corrigan, maybe.
Listen, you find meanings in this. I'm not, you know,
I mean,
you're.
I did, but I didn't, obviously didn't get half of that stuff. I
Sure,
was, man, this movie
But
really
yeah, if
took
you
a
are
right turn,
casual,
you know? Yeah.
it's still doing things for you that you don't need to be like looking at the
And it
8,000
even
layers
makes me
at either.
wonder. It even makes me fucking wonder, is the hand at the end, the old gods fucking smashing the entire thing to shit, is that revenue and viewing figures? Is that the fucking final decider on whether the world lives or dies? You know?
Wow.
You
Interesting.
can just
Capitalism
go for it.
was the bad guy all along. Well,
Piracy.
piracy, yes. That's it.
It hurts more than just you, you know. Piracy
You
hurts.
wouldn't download a car. Did you have that anti-piracy ad in the States?
We did, yes.
Yeah, I love it. So good.
I know. I love when I put on an old DVD and it still has those ads the before them.
Yeah, it's the best. I fucking would if I could get one on the internet. I would absolutely download a car if I could get one on fucking Torrently.
Once we can 3D print one, it's all over for you bitches.
Game over.
Fuck off, Honda.
Once I know how cars work, oh my God, am I coming for you.
You're so done. You're so done. What else, Kristen? Oops, my watch just fell off.
Honestly, I had a great time, right? Because like I said, it wasn't even, like, I guess, what would you say the tagline was, Mark? Like, you think you know
you
what
think
this
you
movie
know
is?
The story or something similar.
And it's
similar.
True. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think I knew the story. And then, but many times throughout the movie, I thought I did know the story.
Like, oh, I get it now.
And then I continued, but I kept not, and so I loved that aspect of it. So it just was fun to be like continually surprised. I think lots of times you watch things and it's like, while maybe you're like, oh, that was enjoyable. Like I kept being tripped up continually, right? And I don't feel like I don't get that a lot just in regular, not just when we're talking horror films, but I think like other things that I watch, because I tend to obviously watch a lot of like crime shows, like about like,
sure,
just weird, I guess. But I just recently watched one, the same thing, where I was like, oh man, they really got me. And I feel like they never do anymore, because I feel like I watch too much.
Totally. So
I feel like it got me, and I like being got. It's fun to be got, you know?
It is fun to be got.
Sometimes people think it's like too cool to be got. I'm like, I love it.
Exactly. No chance. I fucking love being got. Ah, you got me.
Like my favorite, one of my favorite movies was this one that my dad made me watch like back in the day. And I was like, okay. And we watched it. And I still think about like, man, I wish I could watch that again for the first time. Like,
is it The Sting?
Good. Well, that is one of them, but it was actually Striking Distance, which it's with Bruce Willis.
All right.
And Sarah Jessica Parker. It's this like very random movie from the 80s, I guess, or 90s.
Well, don't tell us anything about it so that we can be surprised by it as well.
So it was, but same thing. I was like, man, I wish I could rewatch that, you know? And definitely The Sting is like, oh God, that movie. Oh. That's... It doesn't meet your brief criteria, but it's so fucking good.
No, it definitely does not. Yeah. So with all of that said, then, do we want to sort of approach our Griblies and the
whiteboard
markup? Oh, you still have something else.
Just super briefly.
Should we define Griblies before we start?
Marco, listen, just go, man.
Allow me. This is a better movie than Scream, right? It is a better film than Scream. It is a better movie than Scream. Sure. And I'll tell you for why. I'll tell you what pushes it.
Nobody asked you to compare it to Scream, Mark.
But the comparison is valid, right? It bears weight. It's a horror movie about horror movies.
Sure.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
But whereas I don't think Scream ever fully takes its head out of its ass, right? There's a point about two-thirds of the way through Cabin in the Woods where you can almost hear the movie saying to you, all right, enough talk, let's fucking go. And it goes up a gear and becomes an absolutely fucking wild horror movie when she hits the purge button and hell breaks loose in that fucking basement. It's like, all right, we've talked about it enough. Now let's do the thing now. And all hell breaks loose and there's fucking gore everywhere. And there's like in an 8-foot set, an 8-foot by 8-foot fucking set, there's like 40 different fucking monsters all creating absolute carnage for the last 20 minutes of the film. It's like, all right, just in case you were wondering if we're all talk and we're all fucking film school. All right, have this, you can't. Hits the button and just goes insane, which I don't think Scream ever does. It never finds that gear for me. It's more of a thesis than it is a horror movie.
Sure. Which you always talk about Scream like you don't like it when you actually love most of it. But I see what you're saying. But I do think like it's that kind of one of the things about Cabin in the Woods is that obviously something like Scream and probably what's the other Wes Craven one that does this? New Nightmare. Like things like that are obviously in the like pot of influences that make it so Cabin in the Woods can happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah completely, completely.
And exists stuff like that.
To, you know, in case you weren't worried that I'm just being a Freddy fanboy as well, I would put New Nightmare in that bracket. I don't think New Nightmare ever takes the brakes off. And when it does, in fact, it goes to shit. You know, the end of New Nightmare is fucking terrible when you've got Leather Jacket Freddy
in
some shit-looking set with his little demon tongue. Awful. Yeah.
I love Cabin New Nightmare, but I do get what you mean.
Oh, same. But that last third, is kind of wonky. You got Walton there?
Oh, no, I got it. Was just my watch was buzzing in a weird way. But it's fine. Go on.
No, I'm done. I like Cabin then, Woods a great deal.
Yeah. I think that is like exactly those comparisons to or what makes Cabin in the Woods so great is the fact that it takes so many, the input of so many things and then comes up with something that is greater than its parts, right? Like
yes.
There's so many things that are an homage to something else, that try to pull different like bits of other things into them in one way or another, and maybe come out with something that's as good if they're lucky, you know. But rarely do you get something that takes all of those influence and what it spits back out is something that is probably greater than 95% of the things that are that went into it, if not 100.
But is also, like we said earlier on, is also great if you've just found this scrolling through Netflix and gone, oh, kind of was like, look at this. It, you know, it rewards a kind of a knowledge and love of horror, but it doesn't demand one.
Yes, exactly. Completely.
Yeah.
Whiteboard, Marco?
Whiteboard. All right. So for the uninitiated, right? The kind of the surface plot of Cabin in the Woods is there is a department. They might be the government, maybe they're not. We don't think they are. But there's a department with branches all over the world that is creating sacrifices, human sacrifices to old gods who used to rule this plane of existence. And if the sacrifices aren't done in just the right way and in just the right order before midnight on a specified day, then the old gods will break out of their prison at the Earth's core, possibly, and wipe out all of humanity, right? Now, what this clandestine, underground, bureaucratic, almost office, you know, work-a-day, fucking day-to-day office department does is it seeds all of the demons and all of the ghosts and all of the baddies you've ever seen in every fucking horror film into these situations all across the world. And whichever ones our protagonists choose will be the ones that enact their death. Now, I know there's a word for this. It's when like an Aldi brand comes so close to duplicating the copyright and the logo of another brand. So you know what it is.
Right,
but they can't get sued, you know?
Yes.
What's the word for that? I'm sure there's like a marketing
word for
that. Is
there a word
for
that?
Well, I don't know.
I'm sure there is.
I mean, we call it like Kirkland brand usually.
Yeah. Kirkland.
That's like the Costco
brand of
the store.
Of things.
Yeah. We're saying the same thing. We just call
we're
it
saying the same thing. Yeah, exactly. But you're right. There probably is an actual term for that, like
in
the industry. I just don't
know.
You
see it in wrestling a lot. So wrestlers will have theme music, which is like a no-go too different. From like a metal
or
classic
like,
that everyone knows.
Yeah, whenever they go on like Facebook in a TV show or whatever, but it's, you know.
Yes. My favorite
like
British soap, EastEnders. Every now and again, a character will go on Friend Face.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Nice.
Precisely.
But anyway, and all of these monsters that you've ever seen in every horror film are kept underground in a vault and let out when they're selected by the protagonist topside and left to do their bidding. So what I thought might be fun is, about halfway through the film, the office and all of the different departments like maintenance and biotech and chemistry, they all take bets on which monster this particular group of kids is going to resurrect this time. And they have like an office pool and they all chuck in $5 into the bag and they, oh fuck, okay. And they write them all up on like a board with odds and whatever. And I've got a screen grab of the board here. And I thought it might be fun to just take a little look at this board and see just what a broad kind of tapas of horror this
that's
movie
tapas,
draws from.
Not
oh,
tap
I know.
Ass.
I got it.
Okay.
Just
making sure.
I got that. I enjoyed tap the way ass. You pronounced it, but I was like,
no. I get what we're going for here. Right. Yeah.
I'm just gonna send a request to share my screen.
Ooh,
like fucking
excellent. Look at this. Oh,
this is like
can
really
you see
cool.
my screen?
It's gonna be Kristen's Facebook page when he
puts it up.
Kristen on
Deep
Joag the other day, he told us a horrifying story of Facebook stalking Kristen. Someone during a meeting and then accidentally putting that screen up in front of them.
ludicrous that it was the worst. I wanted to fucking end my life there on camera. It was terrible. There was a girl on this course I'm on, and I was like,
"We were on the call. They were on the call."
Oh yeah, and then we went into a breakout room, and I was with this girl, and I shared my screen.
I can't.
It was terrible.
And they all saw it for like 45 minutes.
And it was up there for like 2 or 3 seconds before, and the only thing I could say was, "Okay, I'll just close that." Oh, it was fucking horrible.
That's right. One of the worst things I've ever heard.
This is what one of our listeners said of this moment, that this was the most horrifying 4 words that he'd heard on our horror podcast was, "Well, I'll just close that.
I'll just close that."
Oh my God.
Anyway, here we have the whiteboard. All right, is that can you see my screen?
Yeah, perfectly.
Here we go.
Oops, except I somehow got rid of it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Let's do this.
So Werewolf speaks for itself.
Yes, yeah. We know Werewolf.
I know Werewolf
Beast,
is.
Obviously.
I read a lot of werewolf romances, and that's not usually how werewolves react, or you guys. So.
Do you?
Mark, please. Obviously.
Obviously. What's the there's a word for that. Romanticy?
Omegaverse. It's Omegaverse.
Okay, but like romanticy
no,
is like
that's
the
not quite romanticy. Thing, right? Omegaverse would be a werewolf.
Like erotic werewolf fiction.
Yeah.
Is that what we're fucking talking about here?
I'm just saying, there's a story. Anyway.
It's not just
it's a story.
It's not just erotica. Yeah, yeah. Gosh, there's like
a werewolf comes to fix the photocopier and
Mark, how dare you belittle it?
Oh no.
There's a future fan cave. I'll read a fucking werewolf smut pamphlet.
Yes.
And I'll come on and we can maybe talk that through.
Love it. Anyway, I feel good with that.
This is amazing. Anyway. Mutants, Corey. And I did see the mutants. They're in the hospital gowns and they've got like lumpy mutant heads.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, Kristen, all of these beasts are in that final 20 minutes. They're all there.
Are they all? I've never actually like
all
checked.
I saw the tree.
Oh, that's
yes.
amazing.
Okay, so zombies, ooh, the tree. That speaks for itself. Reptilius, that was the giant snake, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What's that? What's the difference between giant snake and Reptilius?
Oh, does it say giant snake elsewhere? Oh, yeah, giant snake.
Yeah, internal logistics also thought giant snake.
what could Reptilius be?
What could Reptilius have been?
Alligator, something like that? I'd have to watch it again. Is it like a man-shaped reptile?
Yeah, I feel like there must be something. I wish I'd like been sitting there with this as like a checklist, because I didn't realize they're all
They're all there. Yeah.
Obviously, we see the clown.
Obviously, yes. It, of course. Then you've got witches. Pick your movie. Yeah, sexy witches.
that's pretty great. Demons.
Okay.
Generic.
Kevin.
Generic.
Who do you think? Kevin. Who's Kevin?
Now, I've been on the Cabin in the Woods Reddit quite a bit over the years, as you imagine.
Okay. Classic.
And
of all of
these Griblies, Kevin is the one that's most difficult to spot. A lot of people don't spot Kevin, and I've never seen Kevin, and nobody really knows where or who he is or what he's referring to. If anyone watching or listening to this knows what Kevin in Cabin in the Woods refers to, what movie they're drawing from there, I'd love to know.
So are Griblies like, is that like a slang, like a horror slang for monsters?
Oh.
Is that why we?
Sorry,
keep
I digress.
Sorry.
It's I've never.
It's a word you
it's
made
just
up.
A word. It's a generic kind of term Classic. For monsters. Whether you're in a game, a video game, or a book, or a fucking TV show, the Gribbly is coming to get you. Hell Lord, so that's Hellraiser. That's the guy with the
so
fucking
that's
blades
your
through his
saw
head.
Guy. That's yeah.
Oh, with
so
the
he's
box?
Holding.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the
it's
box
a riff on Pinhead.
Right, and the box is the what's it called?
Pandora's box.
No. What's it called, Mark?
In the movies, it's called the Lament Configuration.
The Lament Configuration. Thank
yes.
You.
No, yes, of
I
course.
I think in the book, it's Le Marchand's Configuration.
Oh, yes, fancy.
You've got the Angry Molesting Tree, which, of course, is a direct reference to Evil Dead. That's another thing you're going to get in Evil Dead. You're going to get.
That says Molesting
you're
Tree.
Yeah. That's what the trees
I thought it said
a
mollusk. I was like, I don't know what that means. But.
Mollusk tree. Yeah, this is directly from Evil Dead. A scene that largely I think we all agree shouldn't be there.
History
but
has moved on from that, yeah.
History and has
I think,
moved on from the molesting tree.
I think
tree.
The filmmakers have also said, if we had our time again, we probably wouldn't have put the molesting tree in it.
Yes.
But it exists.
It exists. Giant snake, obviously. Deadites, which brings us back to Evil Dead.
Another Evil Dead rip.
Yes.
Kevin fuck knows, which I love. Kevin?
Yeah, I was just looking at the wiki for it, and I love that there's like theories about like he's probably just like a regular person, so he could just like fit in with everyone else.
He's in the background somewhere, isn't he?
Yeah, it could be a serial killer. Like we don't know. There's like theories about like he just might be moving through there, and we don't know who he is.
Yes. Mummy speaks for itself. The Bride. I'm certain we saw a kind of a veiled, like ghost type kind of character. Or is that a wraith?
Yeah, I took that as kind of a wraithy thing. But if there's no wraith on the list, then maybe that's the Bride.
Yeah, there's a wraith fourth down.
Oh yeah, then I think that was a wraith.
So the Bride. I must watch it a ninth time and maybe.
Yeah, you're just gonna have to with the
you're
list.
Have to.
There.
Scarecrow folk, we saw them, the baghead scarecrow guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, classic.
They get blown up and straw goes everywhere. Fucking brilliant. I don't remember Snowman.
I don't remember the Snowman either. Did you see a snowman, Kristen?
No.
I think the funny thing is...
Kristen, did you see a snowman? In the movie cabin in the woods.
I think the thing is, what also is kind of fun about these is that not everything like looks exactly like what you expected to, like when we finally see a merman, that's not really what you're expecting.
You guys,
a merman.
Because Corgan, when the merman showed up, I thought it was the absorbing lady from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And I was like, how did she get here?
That's such a lovely little D plot about how, like, for some reason he'd love to see
really
a merman and he's quite embarrassed about it. Shut up.
Yeah. that was scary though. I didn't like when she showed up. And then it wasn't even a she, it was a he.
Yeah, it's a he. Like, and then he blows blood out of his little blowhole. It's a pretty
horrible.
Great.
Dragon Bat we saw featured.
Yeah,
quite
the Dragon Bat we get a lot
Dragon
of.
Bat is brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Vampires, speaks to himself. Dismemberment goblins.
Well, is that. Oh, wait, no, I was thinking dismembered because he chops up all the things and then all the pieces fall in. But I don't know which ones.
I'm certain they're in the mix. Sugar Plum Fairy, you definitely see on one of the security cameras. She's the little girl in the
She's the girl with the little lamprey face.
With the leech face,
See, I thought she was a changeling because don't they, like, suck people? Anyway, that's what I thought she was.
That's solid, too. Hey, I'll go with it.
What do I know?
Merman speaks for itself. The reanimated, I think we've definitely seen those in like hospital gowns.
Mm-hmm.
Unicorn was brilliant. Stabby unicorn.
I love the idea that, like, just imagine if that had been the thing that, like, they had picked. Like, that was what I thought when you see the unicorn. It's just like they would have all just been like skewered by a unicorn.
what was the Huron?
The Huron.
Like the bird? Mm.
Well, it's got a U, like the lake. The Huron. All right, let's see what the Cabin in the Woods wiki has to say about the Huron.
I don't recall seeing a Sasquatch / Wendigo / Yeti. Dolls are the human-looking people with the doll masks, kind of like the others.
Oh, see, I thought those were...
Remember
that's
those?
What I said!
Mm.
I thought those were the strangers.
He's... Sorry, the Huron is a... He resembles a stereotypical depiction of an early Native man. And he can be seen in the cubes. There's like a... I'd try to show the picture, but with my blur, you probably can't.
No. Okay. Fine. Find me the Sasquatch, if you would be so kind.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's see what we got.
Corey, can you put up a Sasquatch for us?
If I had a nickel for every time... Sasquatch. Oh, he's straight up squatching it. He's exactly. I remember him now that
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I do the thing that like
looks
influencers
like I don't have my contacts
do.
On.
Yeah, like, you know, influencers always hold their hand
fully,
up.
Fully remember.
But yeah, he looks like, you know, Harry and the Hendersons, regular old squatch.
The doctors certainly remember them.
Mm-hmm.
Our zombie redneck torture family, of course.
That's
and
obviously
I also love
our family
the
who they pick. The
Texas
Buckners.
Chainsaw? Are they they're the undead Texas family, aren't they?
That's got to be, the general idea.
I also love the little gag with Ronald the intern when, you know, okay, I'm maintenance. And then you got Ronald going, yes!
Because
he gets to share.
Love, It's what's his face, who is just delightful. Tom something. He's in a lot of the like Joss Whedon things and stuff like that. He does things on, including Much Ado About Nothing, which is one of the movies that I think Kristen and Brianne and I have watched many times.
Guess who's in it?
Which one?
Fran Kranz is in it.
Fran Kranz, Amy Acker, the guy who plays Ronald the Intern. Like, there's a lot of people in this who are in that movie.
Never having seen Fran Kranz in anything other than this movie, he looks like one of those guys who you wouldn't know it, but is ripped as fuck.
He is. He's hugely ripped. Yeah. What is, there's another movie. Do you remember what it is, Kristen? There is some movie where he like takes off his shirt and it's like, the fuck is going on under there?
Yeah, I don't remember. I probably should rewatch it though.
But you never watched Dollhouse, Mark.
Oh, Dollhouse.
TV show?
Yeah, the TV show.
No.
Oh man. Yeah, he's great on that. He's really good. Phenomenal. Jack-o-lantern.
Don't remember. Giant, don't remember. Twins, I certainly remember. We've got like a couple of shining twins in there.
Exactly. I don't remember if you see them actually like attacking, but when they zoomed out, I immediately, my eyes went straight to the shining twins.
Yes.
In there.
And again, this exact image is like, you know, thing number 468 that I love so much about the film, because it gives you, and they show this like 30 minutes in the film. You've got this scene happens like
you got the
right
whole
in the
list.
Middle of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's all there. The entire fucking movie is laid out on this whiteboard, which is just a throwaway gag. And it's so
fantastic.
Good.
I love it. Mm. Great times. So Kristen, I mean, I think we know, but you know, this gets a positive review from you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Thumbs up. I had, excellent. I said, had a great time. It was so fun. I laughed a lot in this one.
Right.
Literally everything Marty said, I was like, this guy is just such a hero.
shall we go through your breakdown?
Oh, yes.
Turn it up. For so sure. every month, Mark, we also have this little breakdown that we go through just to get like the final, you know, understanding of how this went. So first of all, poster versus movie, which is scarier?
Yeah, I definitely think the poster had more scary vibes. Like when you obviously I looked at the poster later, clearly not before. Sure. Classic. and so the poster was definitely scary because like when the film started, I was like, this seems like a workplace comedy maybe we're watching, right? It had like the vibes were very confusing. So didn't have a lot of scariness to me. So definitely the poster.
Just on that, number 646 of things that I adore about this film. Come with me on this. I know I've said this to you before, Corey, but you know how Ghostbusters is the perfect template of a film that is about people who try and use science or earthly ways to combat otherworldly things. I love that fucking gimmick. And this is what if horror movies existed in like Office Space?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Such a cool little mesh of formats.
Absolutely. Biggest jump scare.
Yeah, this was embarrassing, actually. My biggest jump scare is when Holden moved the picture and then you see Dana creepily like staring at that what you don't realize is a mirror. Yeah. And I was like, I screamed. And then it was like, what's happening? Like it was, and then later when like these other monsters are killing, I was like, this is embarrassing that the only time I screamed in this film was then.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
I mean, expecting her to stand there. I don't know. By the time everything started hitting the fan, right? I was like, okay, now
you're
things
ready
are moving.
For it.
I'm ready for all these things. But he's just like in this creepy cab. I don't know. It was really, the picture was scary, you know.
It's perfect because when we talked, you know, early on when we watched The Conjuring and we had that conversation about like the idea of earned and unearned jump scares. And you were like, all of them are earned to me. Like, there's no difference. I jump either way. And this is like an example though of that idea of like subverting it, right? Like it wasn't actually a scary thing that happened and that was what made you jump. And that's when you like really feel like, okay, well played.
Yeah, you got me. You got me. They always do.
Were there any moments when you had to close your eyes?
I mean, obviously there was a couple of times where I closed them in anticipation and then it cut away. So you didn't see, like we didn't really see, what was the friend's name? The blonde friend? Chloe?
No, not Chloe. I can't think of what it is at the moment either.
Jules.
Jules. Yes, Jules. That's it.
When Jules gets like sodden, I was like, I don't want to watch that, but we didn't see it. But
yeah,
I
you don't
did
really
not
see
like
it.
When Mike Truman, because I really felt like special kinship with him when he yeah. got like torn apart. Because then they started showing his like, I was like,
yeah, okay, all the.
Yeah.
It's the
he's
same
so
thing that
he
like.
Was so beautiful.
I
like, I
you
like
really don't
just...
think, you think he's going to make it. Like, he's got final girl vibes to him.
Was,
you
I
know?
Thought like he was going to kind of step up and like do something.
Yeah.
You know, because
right.
he definitely was like questioning and then he never did and then he died. I was like, oh, what a waste.
Oh, yeah. That's also, I have the same, it's a similar thing with him getting pulled apart to like the part I always close my eyes in Shaun of the Dead when the guy, like the terrible guy, gets pulled through the Winchester's window and they all start like
yeah,
eviscerating him. And I'm like, ugh! Oh no.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
How about biggest surprise?
Yeah, like the whole fucking movie was the biggest surprise. Everything was a surprise.
All of it.
All of it. The opening was a surprise. The middle was a surprise. The ending was a surprise.
Love
everything
that.
Was a surprise.
Yeah. Most surprising movie we've watched, I would,
yeah,
I would
say. Definitely. Yeah. Because oftentimes the surprise ends and then I'm like, okay, now I'm in it. But I was like, well, surprises just kept flying
just
in my
keep
face.
On coming.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Best side character.
Yeah. Obviously Mordecai. What a fucking weirdo. Loved him so much. I loved him so much.
Mordecai.
I loved the phone call when he was like, am I still on speakerphone? You know, and they're just like laughing at him. I was like, oh.
Sweet,
he's like,
sweet man.
Just, idiot. He yeah. wasn't. Like, he's such a trash person, but I was
yeah.
like, I loved him so much. He was, and his name was yeah. Mordecai. I'm
I
like,
will agree. I will agree with
right.
that.
There's never been a better cast and then named character. Like,
yeah,
perfect
totally.
Guy for that role. Perfect name. When his name was Mordecai, I was like, of course his name is Mordecai.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
he
it
is
be?
Definitely Mordecai.
Be Mordecai or Jeb Stuart, right? Those
yes.
are like the two.
Definitely. And finally, best line.
Yeah, best line was hard for me, right? Because Marty had just like bangers on bangers.
Yeah,
but...
I'm just going to say my favorite comes from Marty, which
yeah.
is he's got a husband bulge.
He's got a husband bulge, which is really great.
Bulge.
And that
every
was
time
was,
I watch
the
it.
The way he just like in passing does that
yeah.
one is like really great, right? Doesn't stop. Yeah. It's just like a drive-by like insult essentially or like jab. Corey, I think you might be able to guess the one that I loved
Ooh.
The most. If you really
know.
Thought about it, but
maybe
not. But the part where he's like, they ask
oh.
Mordecai, like,
I know.
Okay,
it's
what,
like
what,
as
what,
soon
what,
as
what.
You said it, it's the war one, isn't it? When
yeah.
he starts, he's like,
he goes,
what war?
We're some in gray and
some in
blue. Brothers,
yeah.
But I was like, I screamed. I loved it so much. I wanted to die. It was just perfect. Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, that was.
It was really great. It was really great.
That's when I'm sure that's like a moment where you're like, yes, I'm in this movie.
Yeah,
understands
it's like, wow,
me.
They really like made this for me. It feels like,
yeah,
which is a reference multiple... to the American Civil War, Mark. Just after
I did, I got that. Yes,
oh.
I did. That.
Sorry, yeah, which is
they
I don't
teach
know if you
it
know this
in
about
UK
me.
Schools, but
yeah.
Yeah. I did know that.
You might not know this about me. I really like it.
Kind of into the Civil War. It's kind of a
like
thing.
Like half of my personality. It's deeply embarrassing.
Okay, I see.
It's not. I love it so much.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that was probably my favorite Marty, but pretty much everything he said was like genius, obviously.
Absolutely love it. Well, do you want to know what you're watching next month?
Yes. Well, I'm scared now. Are we really getting it? Are they going to be worse now?
No, this is actually a reward, you know, because
cool.
you graduated from trope school.
I graduated from trope school?
You graduated from
Can
trope school.
Can I get a certificate?
I think Mark's going to make you a certificate,
yep.
a little,
yep.
yeah.
Great. Jump on Canva.
Yes, make you a certificate for Trope School. This is a little reward for your hard work over this semester.
Oh, thanks, Teach.
So we're gonna do a sequel.
A sequel,
here.
Okay.
A sequel, yeah, to one we have already watched.
Sequel that I've already watched.
No, you haven't watched.
If it's... Oh, no.
Well, you've watched the first movie. You haven't watched the sequel.
Ooh.
It's not
Corey,
it.
I'm not
it's
watching...
not it.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to
you have any
you
other guesses?
Watch... No, but I was just going to tell you that I wasn't going to watch it. And I'm not going to watch the second Strangers either. So I don't... if there's another one, I don't want to watch one of those either. Is it that it?
It's not Strangers. We're going to watch the Brandy and Jennifer Love Hewitt vehicle.
Oh, my God. I know you did last summer, too. Or
well,
someone
no.
did last summer.
What
be.
You did last summer. Yes.
Yeah, you'll have a good time. You'll have a good time, Kristen.
Yes. Featuring Jack Black, featuring Matthew Settle, aka
is that
Spears
Mekhi
from
Pfeiffer
Band
in
of
this
Brothers.
Movie?
It's got Mekhi Pfeiffer. It's so
is there a rapper
fun.
In there? It feels like there should be a rapper in there.
I don't think there's a rapper in this one. I
okay.
think this one is rapper free.
Mekhi Phifer was in the Brandy Monica video. The boy
he's in the
he
boy
was
also is mine.
In 8 Mile.
And he's in 8 Mile as
so
well.
He's also in Honey.
A rapper adjacent.
Yeah, he's rapper adjacent. We'll give him that. I Still Know is a fun, stupid time, and I think you deserve it.
Oh my gosh.
I agree.
I only love it though. There better be a trunk full of crabs though. Are there a trunk full of crabs? That's my favorite part.
It's gotta be a trunk full of crabs.
It's not a trunk full of crabs. Would be sad.
I like the idea that like that is the trope that appears in every installment.
Honestly, and it's funny, right? Because I'm like probably the only one that enjoyed it
nobody...
so much.
Yes!
No one
cared about
me. I loved it so much. I could not have loved it more if it didn't. Honestly, I don't think I would have liked that movie as much if it didn't have that.
If it didn't have the trunk full of crabs.
It's such a great thing. Like, why is this happening? Oh, God.
How did nobody hear the trunk?
What a moment. What a moment. Like, where did the crabs go? Jeez, back so quickly. Like,
Did you guys see there was a video going around, like one of those subway creatures type videos or whatever, but a woman who dropped the bag of crabs on the subway?
No.
And everyone was like trying to help her clean up the crabs as they're pinching. Oh, it was beautiful. Glorious moment, you know, New York style.
I would simply walk further down the train.
Yeah, no, I am not. Yeah. Listen, I like to think of myself as a helpful person, someone
Same,
lending a hand to others, but I am not touching a crab.
Your crab's your business.
Yeah.
Your crab's your problem.
That is between you and your God. Like, I'm not here to get in the middle of that, you know?
Yeah. You've made your crab bed.
Yeah,
you must grab lie in it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, friends, prepare for next month. We will be watching I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. If you've never seen it, get on that. If you have, rewatch it. Grand old time. Mark, thank you so much for coming along on this little voyage.
It was an absolute pleasure. See you in another decade.
Okay.
Here, because I didn't let him on the fan cave before, apparently.
Yeah, but now he's here. So once you're on the list, man, you can't get away from us.
Beautiful.
Yeah, short list from this point forward.
What? I mean, the chance to talk about one of the best films ever with two of the best people ever. What a treat.
Oh, my God.
Delightful.
Stop it. We
can
go,
Marco.
I mean, we can go. It's fine.
And friends, thank you for doing the right thing. As always, we love you lots. And you should go ahead and stay spooky.
Or don't. It's up to you.
Thank you.